about humanism and how important it is that we understand what humanism is, where it came from, and a little bit about it. Pastor Roland asked some of the Sunday school teachers to give us a few books to read, and he would like us to prepare lessons on. And one of the books that he gave me was entitled "What's on Your Mind: The Power of Biblical Thinking." And what it is it's a book that sort of teaches you about how important to think things through from a biblical standpoint, applying the principles of God and His laws and His rules and such. So it's a very good book. I enjoyed reading it, and I'm working on the lessons and trying to teach that in my Sunday school class. And one of the things that I thought was important to teach before we actually got into the book, what the book said, was about a couple of fundamental things that I think all God's people must believe. It's not a should believe, it's a must believe kind of a thing. And one of the things is there is and always has been an omnipotent Almighty God. If you don't believe that, you might as well leave. Because if you don't believe in an omnipotent, eternal, always has been, always is, and always will be God, everything, the wheels fall off of everything. In addition to that, it's important that we must believe that the Bible is His recorded word for humanity. And I also want to put on top of that, and at this particular time in the history of mankind, I believe that Bible is the King James Version, the authorized King James Version. Others may differ. There's probably, other people may disagree with me, but I think there's enough evidence out there that all the translations and all the versions and things that have been cropping up since this King James Version was written. And it really wasn't written then. It was just kind of organized a little bit more. But whatever the case, they're not as good as this one. Changes have been made, and they're based on bad information to begin with. So those are two very important fundamental things that we need to grab a hold of. Because if you can't believe in an Almighty God, and you can't believe that the Bible is His Word, if you have any question of, if you find a scripture in this Bible and you say, well, I don't believe that, then you don't believe God. You don't believe His Word, you don't believe God, and you might as well just quit at that point. So, so there's a lot of reasons to believe those two very important fundamental things beyond, how they pertain to humanism. But if you're gonna apply biblical thinking, then it's important that you believe those two things because you could find something in here that contradicts what you think. And you're going to say, well, I don't know, I can't go along with that, you know. Guess what? Your biblical thinking is shot, you know. That's my opinion, I guess. But you also need to understand humanism. Humanism is a religion. It may not seem like it, but it's practiced as a religion by the masses in the world. All those that reject God turn to humanism. And humanism is usually the reason they reject God. Humanism is a result of sin. Rejection of God is sin. and rejection of God is because of sin. Romans 1, Brother Gordon spent a lot of time on that, in 18 through 32, that when people reject God, it's because of their sin. And it leads them to a pretty precarious place. Usually it leads them into humanism. And humanism is actually a philosophy. That's what people like to say it is. And it teaches, it's a philosophy that teaches self. It's all about you as an individual. And it's all about you determining or us determining our destiny or our fate or what happens to us. And it seeks to eliminate God completely from the consciousness of man. I've yet to meet somebody that's happened to, where they have no concept of God. They have no feeling that there is a supernatural being out there at all. I've yet to run into one of those, but they're out there. And but that's the goal, that's the end game of humanism, is to remove God completely from the consciousness of man. In order to do that, humanists lift up mankind. They lift themselves up, or they lower God, they bring God down to their level where they're even, where God and man are even, or maybe man is a little higher than God. Whatever level of sameness they want to achieve, they want to bring God down, and they want to have the same attributes that God has. And then they follow along with that as, well, if there's no difference between man and God, why do we need God at all? That's where they have taken their philosophy. And a lot of times we hear terms from preachers and Sunday school teachers and different ones, and they talk about something being part of a secular society, in the term secular society, or that this or that is worldly, or that's a worldly nature. And these terms are often used when the discussion is about humanism. It's important you understand what these terms are, what they mean. You know, for a long time I just, oh yeah, secularism. And I really realized what it was, so I looked it up. And you have to start out with culture. Culture is a way of life. It's the way groups of people do things. You see it in their writings, their religion, their music, their clothes, cooking, etc. Like there's a Spanish culture, and they cook a certain way, they dress a certain way, they interact with each other a certain way. That's a culture. Society is how human beings work and live together, which refers to the things everybody does or doesn't do that are considered normal, commonplace, acceptable by the majority of people in society. Society contains cultures, and we see that people coming together in cultures, intermixing, or living together. You know, Spanish descent people cook a certain way, do a certain thing, but yet you'll find European types or people or whatever, they like their food, or they like the way they dress, or they like their music or stuff like that. So they interact with one another. That's a society. And then secular is the attitude and the activity and all these things in a society or a culture that has no religious or spiritual basis. So God isn't part of the culture, isn't part of what people do. That's secular. God is when society makes a decision It's not based on godly principles or anything. It just has nothing to do with God or religion. That's what secular means. That's what worldly means too. So humanism being a philosophy, you need to understand what a philosophy is. And I found this very interesting. Philosophy is a pursuit of wisdom by determining what we think is possible. So humanism is based on what mankind thinks rather than what is factual. This interesting thing about humanism is it's not based in reality. It's based in thought. I think this, or I feel this, therefore it's right, or it's wrong, or it's okay, whatever. It's not based in, you know, if you do that, you're going to cut your hand off. You know, well, I don't feel I'm going to. Well, guess what? You know, I mean, that's the idea of a philosophy. They sit around and they think up stuff and say, this is the way it ought to be. And it's not based in any sort of analysis or reasoning with respect to God or what the consequences might be. And you probably wonder yourself, how could anybody do that? But they're out there. Self-determination means that man is the one who determines and controls everything. God isn't in charge of anything. Man's in control of it all. They even think they can control their environment. And that's why we have the concept of climate change or global warming or whatever you want to call it. Man does not have a lasting impact upon this planet. If you've ever taken a look at this parking lot over here, you will see that. God's creation is reclaiming that blacktop we put down so many years ago and turning it back into dirt. Ever so slowly, but it's happening. Because of this self-determination and this philosophy of raising man or lowering God to be the same, man comes to believe he's the same as God. Supernatural is defined as the existence of a being that is outside of the physical world we exist in. That's the dictionary definition of supernatural. And we say that God is supernatural because we cannot see him, yet we see things that could only happen because of him, things that are so extraordinary. And I mean, you've seen things that are so extraordinary. They can only be explained by a power that is beyond our understanding of the way our world works. And I'm talking about the physical laws, you know, physics and gravity and those kinds of things. We see stuff happen that's outside of that from time to time. Humanism teaches that any reliance on the supernatural or God limits man's ability of complete self-determination. That's crazy, you know. Man's ability is limited by humanism. Man's life is expanded by belief in God, and it's just the opposite, you know, of what they teach. And humanism teaches or tries to teach has any effect upon what the Bible says about God or anything. I mean, it just doesn't. Malachi 3, verses 5 and 6, the first part of verse 6 anyway. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false accusers, false swearers, and against those who oppress the hireling of his wages, the widow of his and the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear, and those that fear not me, refers to people who reject God, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. This humanism stuff doesn't affect God at all. So it's purely something that it has no effect upon God. Man is foolish enough to think that it does, but it doesn't. You can reject God all day long, but that doesn't get rid of God. And Satan is the founder of humanism. And long before he spoke to Eve, Satan sought to elevate himself and to be the same as God. In Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, I will ascend unto heaven, into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And that refers to the temple in Jerusalem. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, go down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Is that the same lie as Satan told himself that he told Eve in Genesis? I think it is. It's the same lie that Satan told Eve, and it's the same lie that humanism is telling mankind. The motto of humanism is good without a God. That's what Satan told Eve. You're good without God. You don't need to worry about God. You'll actually be like God. That couldn't be more humanistic. It just couldn't be, And what we see throughout the history of man and more recently in the history of our nation, Satan and the forces of hell, the enemies and haters and despisers, the rebels against God and his way, are engaged in a cultural war. That's what we're experiencing, in the last year under Biden. And you probably have your own political views or whatever, but in my opinion, in the last year under President Biden, these things have been amplified. This culture war has been stepped up. The result of all of this is a society that has rejected God and become more and more distant from God and his ways. And that's the secular society that we live in today. In 1933, the first Humanist Manifesto, which is a declaration or a document, if you will, sort of a doctrinal statement for humanism, if you want to call it that. That was first written in 1933, and there's been three more since. And what that tells us is humanism is constantly changing the rules. The rules of humanism are changing on a regular basis. The International Humanist Organization is worse. If you read their documentation that they have on their website for the international, the worldwide part, umbrella organization, if you will, for all these humanist associations around the world, what they write is far worse than what the American Humanist Organization or the American Humanist Association has written in their three manifestos. The international thing is just horrible. In In Romans 1:18, Paul makes a general statement that because of man's sin, God's wrath is being revealed. And why can we make that statement? In Romans 1, verses 19 through 32, Paul gives the reasons for what he says in verse 18. And this is, I've taken this from one of Brother Gordon's lessons, either, I think this comes from one of his lessons on A World Gone Wrong. But anyways, in Romans 1:19, it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." God has showed mankind himself. He has revealed himself to mankind. He's instilled it in our soul, a knowledge of him. And then in Romans 1:21, it says, "Because that when they knew God," in other words, they knew there was a God. Man knows there's a God. Deep in his heart, in his soul, he knows God exists. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Vain means useless. Everything man thinks of is useless if they reject God. That's what humanism. You read any of this stuff about humanism, and that's what you see. This is useless. This doesn't lead to anything but a total mess. And then in Romans 1:22 it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." What does the Bible say about a fool? It's someone who says there is no God. That's a foolish thing. You call somebody a fool, you need to be careful how you throw that word around, because you're using a word that's very, I think, is a very important word. And then, you know, Brother Gordon brought out, it says, we live in an age of academia. In other words, you know, education. We live in an age of where people are supposedly educated. They go to college, they get their degrees, and so on, and they learn all this stuff. And, you know, we got rockets going to the moon and people trying to land on Mars. And, you know, we think we're pretty smart. But you don't have to talk to people out there very long to find out how messed up they truly are when it comes to God. The Greek word translated as fools in this particular verse right here means morons. And I think that's, you know, one of Dennis's favorite words sometimes. But he says they became morons. They became fools. They became morons. And he doesn't mean that they, by that use of that word, Paul doesn't mean that they just did stupid things. He says, but they became morons or idiots. They became, you know, their brain quit functioning properly. And they did stupid things. So that's a pretty tough word, you know, a pretty interesting word that, you know, people just throw out there sometimes. And then humanism not only rejects God, it rejects the very idea of God, the very existence of God. And in doing so, you get to Romans 1:25. It says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." That's what humanism does. They want to replace God with man. And if you look down through Genesis, starting in Genesis, humanism also, you know, teaches that mankind is evolving and upward. We're getting better as time goes by, and nothing could be farther from the truth. If you read Genesis 1 through Genesis 6, you'll find that Genesis 1, man starts out in bliss. And then sin enters the world, and by the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, God's destroying the earth because man has become so sinful that he can't take it anymore. You know, I mean, that's just how rapidly it begins. It began from Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit, and man didn't progress, but sin did. Sin got worse and worse. But it's also important to remember what happens to the author. I also want to say that human history records the same exact thing, that sin always leads to chaos and conflict and struggle, pain, disease, decline, and eventually death. The recorded human history shows the same exact thing. When mankind rejects God, disaster follows every time without fail. You can read that in history, just regular history, European history, American history, doesn't matter. That's where you always wind up. When God is left out of the picture. But we also need to understand the end of humanism. Isaiah 14 and 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" And then in 15 and 16 it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" It's just going to be incredible. People are going to look at Satan and they're going to say, "Seriously? You're Satan?" Verse 19, "But thou art cast out of my grave, out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stone of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet." And then in Hebrews 10 and 13, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Brother Wade, would you just...